So focusing on the definition of the estates first, if we look at the early history of the law, and this is around the country, or around the globe, there was a doctrine called the ad coelum doctrine. And it was the idea that a property owner owns the substances, the molecules, the space from the perimeter of their property all the way down to the center of the earth and all the way out to the heavens. And so the idea of mineral ownership versus surface ownership, it was perhaps are you below the surface or above the surface? Well, that's not really how we look at things now. Modern courts, and especially in Texas, have taken a look at this, and we have case after case, even coming about recently with the recent pipeline case. Can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. But modern courts are looking at it and saying, well, ownership of minerals, ownership of surface, that's really just a difference in the collection of rights that you own in the same property. And so that's what we're going to be seeing in case after case that we discuss today, is that most of the focus is not, well, are you below the surface? Are you above the surface? Most of the focus after our first few slides is not going to be on, well, what substance are you using? How are you using it? But instead, it's going to be a division of rights, a division of rights that you have as a mineral owner or a surface owner. And of course, under the law, just in general, one particular way you can divide property into those different packages of rights is a surface and mineral estate distinction. So in order to determine what we mean by minerals, we're going to look at a collection of cases is what we would see out there. We really explore a bit more in our paper, but the early cases, we're looking at all these deeds that were saying that they were conveying or reserving an interest in oil, gas, and other minerals. Of course, oil and gas, I mean, that's, you know, we know what that means. I mean, it just says that right in the deed. But the question in these cases, well, what does it mean by other minerals? There's a lot of these deeds out there conveying a severed interest in the mineral estate or reserving a severed interest in the mineral estate using that phrase other minerals. And so there was a lot of case law on that subject. The early courts used what we call the surface destruction test. Now, when I say the early courts used that, yes, it has been modified into a different rule now. But that doesn't mean this early test doesn't matter, because in fact, severances that occurred prior to June 8th, 1983, still are interpreted based on the surface destruction test. And so if we're looking at an area with historic oil and gas production, and then we come across a need to determine whether a particular substance is a mineral under a deed that says other minerals, I mean, it's likely that the mineral severance occurred prior to 1983. So there is a lot of application or a lot of applicability still of the surface destruction test today. So this test was intent-based. It sought to determine what the intent of the parties was, and it required a balancing between, two different factors. First, what is the proximity of this particular substance to the surface? And does extraction of this particular substance result in substantial destruction? You balance those out, and if they suggest a yes on both of those, so it's closer to the surface and amounts in substantial destruction, the more likely it's going to be a component of the surface estate. There were some problems with this, a lot of law review articles talking about it. Parties didn't like it at times, and the reason we're going to talk about a few first. Intent-based inquiries are nice. You are ostensibly reaching out to figure out what the parties meant in their transaction. But the problem is it doesn't particularly lend itself to certainty in understanding land titles. And there's a general concept under the law that we should be trying to have our law set up so that it does promote stability of land titles. And this was a rule that didn't particularly do that because it was so intent and case-by-case based. It also kind of led to some strange results because it wasn't based on the nature of the substance or its common understanding or its chemical quality composition. Also, the methods of extraction can change over time with just different trends, also different technology. And so something may be a mineral one day and maybe, years later, maybe it's no longer a mineral because of a different way that it's extracted. So that can kind of lead to some strange results. Uranium and iron in particular are some examples of some strange results. They can be mined or they could also with different methods that do result in substantial destruction or that don't. And so that can be an odd result there. If we go on, the Texas Supreme Court in a 1984 decision came up with what they called the ordinary and natural meaning test. So that's the current test. So if you do a mineral severance today, or really if you're looking at a mineral severance after June 8th, 1983, you're going to apply this. And they held as a matter of law that a certain few things were part of the minerals, and as a matter of law, certain different things were part of the surface estate. So first, oil and gas are a mineral as a matter of law. Also, anything expressly described as being a mineral in your deed is also mineral. So for example, if it says lignite or coal, well, if that's described in the deed, well, then, you know, that express provision is going to control. It's going to be a mineral. And then also anything that is just under its ordinary and natural meaning would be considered a mineral. What can be kind of helpful is they gave a list of what they are holding as a matter of law to be part of the surface estate. That included water, building stone, limestone, caliche, surface shale, sand, gravel, near surface lignite, iron, and coal. And so the rest of our presentation, we are just going to be focusing on oil and gas. But in order to understand the mineral estate, you can't just talk about oil and gas. So it's important to talk about what a mineral is as well. So now that we know the substances that are included in what we're discussing, let's talk about the nature of what that ownership interest is. Like we said, or like I said at the beginning, it's not really an ownership necessarily of a molecule, but instead it's a package of rights. One of those property interests that a mineral owner enjoys is something called the rule of capture.